This episode of the FitCast is brought to you by MovementLectures.com. Keeping up with the current changes in training and rehabilitation is nearly impossible, but downloadable audio lectures in your car or your mobile device or from your computer can help you keep up to date. Current, inexpensive, and recorded by the top experts in strength and conditioning and rehab, visit MovementLectures.com and use the coupon code FITCAST for a free $5 lecture. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 291. I am Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have back on the show as we head towards episode 300, one of our very first guests, Alan Cosgrove. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Kevin. Thank you for having me back. I was saying to Rachel last night, I'm like, wow, 300, that's nuts, man. Well done.
Getting old.
I think when you first did it, I just looked at the Strength Coach podcast as 140 or something episodes. Mm. Like you, I think you when you contacted me first to do, I didn't really know what a podcast was.
Yeah,
like, honestly, I didn't know. And the only way I could listen to it then was I would play it on my computer and just sit here.
Exactly.
That's amazing. It was the first time I was on was 1 month after my transplant.
Yeah.
So it's cool that you're still gone, and also that I'm not dead. That's two pluses. Put that in the happy column for today.
Absolutely. Two in the win column for sure, man. But yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for, like I said, coming back on and really helping celebrate the show, which really would never get done if back then, I'm talking 8 years ago now, just about 8 years, that people replied to my emails, and you're one of the first to say, yeah, absolutely. You know, as soon as I can, I'll jump on the show with you and talk about stuff. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I said to Rachel last night, I goes, it's interesting because, I mean, it's the perfect storm, right? Although I was sick, I had time to do this stuff. Like now it's just, if I don't have a relationship with somebody already, I just don't have a lot of time now. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, Kevin's just, he killed it. And now you're a celebrity.
Not really. Maybe yeah, at a Perform Better seminar.
Yeah, it's like you're like Anthony Renner, though, right? Nobody knows him, but then they hear his voice, like, oh, wait.
I really like the show. Yeah, that's why I get that a lot when I'm, you know, going to seminars. It's like, oh, yeah, no, I just want to listen, let you know I've listened to like 250 whatever episodes of you talking. It's always almost frightening. And sorry, my dog is having fun in the background chewing on
that's
his
awesome.
Toy. So, yeah, man, but let's get into it because we got some good questions from the audience. But the first thing that I would like really love to start off with is, you know, we were talking off the air. It is almost May, so we got about the third of the year is already done. And I love how at the beginning of every year, you basically say, all right, these are the goals that I have lined up. I have 365 days. How many workouts am I going to get in? You know, how am I going to reach the goals that I'm setting out for myself for 2014? So, one of the questions that I first have for you is, you know, there are some people that had some false starts. You know, they did the New Year's resolution. They might have gotten a couple weeks into the gym, maybe, you know, 30, 40 days, but they kind of fell off. But what can they do now that we're already 4 months into the year and the beach season's coming up? What advice do you give to those people that kind of are just looking for the motivation to get back on and to get back to what they should be doing?
So, well, the first thing, Kevin, is that is a mindset shift. There's a we go by a sort of Western lunar calendar that has the new year in January. The Chinese New Year, I believe, is a different day, and I'm sure different religions around the world have different days. So get this out of your head that there's any failure in what you've done. Right? Tomorrow's you know you may as well we're doing this in April. You may as well start May 1 and just think of it as a new year. Right? And the big mistake I see people making, especially for when we're talking about like sort of aesthetic training and fat loss stuff, is they go out so hard and they do too much at once. And it's inevitable that this is just a game of how long will your willpower last, right? Like I could see people, honestly, if we did this, you're like, all right, we got about a month to Memorial Day, tighten up your diet and you could lose like 8 pounds of fat, 10 pounds of fat, right? People are like, well, if I tighten up my diet and I start doing cardio sprints twice a day, and I lift every day and I eat paleo and no carbs and take caffeine, man, I'll be ripped. Like, but that's like 55 changes all at once, right? So there's a good, I think it was John Berardi first turned me on to this. There's a book, I think it's called Less is More or Zen Habits. It's the one of those two books by an author, Leo Babotta. He says when someone makes one change, they got about an 80% chance of success. When you make two changes at once, you got about a I think it's a 50% chance of success. I can't remember the exact numbers, but the idea is that with that second change, you make the odds of success go way down. And when you do three changes or more at once, it's like a less than 10% chance. So the basic idea with that is we build change into a periodization cycle where if we're going to start May 1, let's do one habit for the first 7 to 14 days. Mm-hmm. Let's add a second habit then. And what we forget is that because it's not difficult for me to go to the gym. It's not difficult for me to drink a protein shake when I wake up. But for someone who's just starting out, right, who's not been training consistently, who's not been eating well, right? Now they've got to get up earlier. They've got to buy protein. They've got to make a different breakfast than normal. They've got to pack clothes for the gym. They've got to go to the gym. That can be too many changes. So often, like one of my successful things as a coach is we just do little changes at a time. But over the course of the year, if you add one change a week or one change every 2 weeks, you're looking at 26 to 52 positive steps forward in a year. Right, so I'm just like, clean slate, the first part's your mindset. Get your, you know, don't beat yourself up that you haven't started yet. Start tomorrow morning, it's a clean day. You don't have to wait for Monday. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't have to wait for the first of the month. You don't have to wait for the first Monday of the week. You don't have to wait for the first of the year. You can start right now. And it's really, and you touched on it in the beginning, one of the goals I set is I have outcome goals. I have like strength goals I want to meet. I have mobility goals. I have business goals. But it's also important, they're all outcome goals. It's important to have process goals where in order to hit my, for example, if you decide you want to lose 10 pounds of body fat in 10 weeks and you decide that, well, what does that plan look like in order to do that? You're like, you know, it's going to be 3 weight training and 1 interval training session a week. You're like, right, that means 4 workouts a week over 10 weeks is 40 workouts. So part of your chart is I've got to do 40 training sessions. Right, now it's not, obviously you can't just, you need a structured plan with progression and stuff, but part of it is just, sometimes you just have to punch the clock and get the work done. Mm-hmm. You know, just get after it in that fashion. So make a plan of things that you can do. There's a tendency. One of my business coaching members was sharing with me something he saw in a store, and it's some like fat burning coffee or something. You know, I don't want to give brand names in case they're a sponsor. the idea is this coffee has extra stuff in it that helps burn fat, right? Whatever.
I don't think it's a Greens Plus product. I think you're good.
It's not a Greens Plus product.
No, I don't think so.
There's an inside story. Yeah. Whether the product works or not, I don't know. But he was getting upset saying, like, I can't believe people fall for this type of stuff. But what I pointed out is the reason that it's financially successful is because it requires people to do something. People are more successful generally when they do something, not when they stop doing something. So if you say, I'm going to stop eating junk food, that's unlikely to happen. But if you say, every meal I'm going to start with a lean protein and a vegetable, that's something you can do. That's a tangible, right? And that makes your level of success much more likely. If you're like, I'm never drinking beer again, you're like, then that's not a good tool because it's unlikely to happen because it requires inaction on your part. Mm-hmm. So instead you're like if you, I don't know if you normally go to the bar on a Friday night, make Friday a workout night.
Yeah.
Then there's something to do. So everything's about, a lot of the psychology of coaching is about having people do things. Then you've got a list of progress. Jerry Seinfeld once said that one of his secrets to being a comedian is you put a calendar on a wall, and comedians need to write every day. They need to write material and work on it and like change a sentence, change a phrase and see if it works better. But basically you have to write every day. And he says you put a calendar on the wall, and if you write on the first of the month or the first day you start this, you put a big red X on the calendar. And if you do it the next day, you put a big red X. And eventually you have a chain of days where you've done your activity to get towards your goal. And subconsciously, you will not want to break that chain. That will drive you when you see that visual representation of, I've checked the boxes of what I'm supposed to do every day, and that builds a consistency. So, and I've seen it with things like, we call it the gamification of fitness, like the Nike Fuel Band and all these apps. The Nike Fuel Band, for example, you set a goal each day for a number of steps or a number of points burned. And when you get on a streak, it lets you know. And when I was using it and first researching it with because I'm involved with Nike, I saw it like you've done 7 days and it's Sunday night and you've not done anything. You're watching football and you get 200 to go. Like that encourages you to get up and, you know, go for a walk around the block a little bit, you know, and try to get it. So because you don't want to break the chain. So there's a couple of tools that people can do. But the most powerful one is just you got off to a false start this year and you just need to clean the slate. We call it like cleaning. No matter how many numbers are on the calculator, you can clean it by pushing one button and the calculator's cleared and you can get back to focusing. So don't beat yourself up. Just get into it.
Going off of that, you know, I know you guys at Results are always looking for, you know, the next best way to do whatever it is you're doing. So I wanted to ask you, you know, you still have lots of new clients coming in through the door. They're starting, you know, mid-year. What is the plan of attack when you have that new client come in? How do you assess them? Not in terms of like the FMS or anything like that, but how do you kind of assess them to make sure that they are, you know, buying into the program and that they are on track with what you want them to be doing?
Okay, so the first part is you need to a good book to read for any business owner is a book called Start With Why by Simon Sinek, and that gives you purpose for your business. Another good book is Motivational Interviewing, which is by Miller and Kolnick, I think. It's called Motivational Interviewing. Mm-hmm. Both those books are mandatory reading. I got to find out your why, Kevin, right? So we do something like if I ask you, like you come in, you're like, I want to gain 10 pounds of muscle. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why is that important to you?
For the ladies, man, I'm going to the beach in like 2 months. Let's go.
Right?
Yeah.
So now I've got a why. And I'm like, so when we hit that goal, now notice my language, I'm doing a technique called future pacing. Mm-hmm. When you hit that goal, how will you feel?
Hopefully pretty good. I mean, the sun's going to be out, so at least that will be going.
And what does that mean to you to feel pretty good on the beach?
Confidence.
Boom. Now I got you. You're here for confidence.
Yeah.
Right? So we call that the inception technique. Like, you know, the dream within a dream within a dream.
Perfect.
Because I don't know if you noticed, what I asked you was, why do you want to do that? Mm-hmm. And then using different language, I said, and why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
And in a different language, I said, and why are you want to do that, right? But it forces you to dig deeper because it's not the 10 pounds of muscle. Mm-hmm. It's feeling awesome and confident on the beach this summer.
Yep.
So every anchor I do, like I have you doing a, I don't know, an inverted row. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Kevin, important here is I want you to get full range and really squeeze. Because when we hit the beach, we got to be feeling as confident when we walk away as we do when we're walking towards someone. You got me?
Yeah.
Now I've got your buy-in.
Yep.
So everything ties in with me finding out your why. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the idea. At first level, people will tell you something. It's usually incorrect, right? Like I want to gain some muscle. I want to lose some fat. You know, I just want to, you know, live longer, be around for my kids. Like, we'll say something like that. But if you keep digging, without being like abrasive, if you keep digging, you get the real why, and that's their motivation, that's their hot button, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to open up this line of questioning for listeners. I have a couple of theories on. I lived close to a power line, and I drank a lot of Diet Cola, which contains aspartame, and with no family history, I developed stage 4 cancer. I think there's an environmental effects of these things, And I'm sure some people will send me a whole bunch of stuff now, either refuting it or supporting it. I don't need to see it. But I have a feeling that this contributed perhaps, right? So it is out of the question for me to live near power lines anymore. If we're looking for a new house and we get a beautiful $2 million house with a beach view and we get it for $1,000 with a power line above it, it's not a question, right? Right? Because my why is so powerful, right? I don't consume artificial sweeteners because of how I feel about them. That's my why. Mm-hmm. So when you're working with a client, getting their why, right? They're not, no one is doing heavy squats and deadlifts and doing that. When you get to the, if you've ever done 5-3-1 and you're on the 1+ day, you're a little nervous heading into the workout. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're a little part excited, but a little part nervous. But grinding out those last couple of reps, it is not just so you can grind out the last couple of reps. That is a vehicle for something that you want. Mm-hmm. I'll get two more out of you if I can get your why in your head. That, hey, Kev, you got 3-5 is where the transformation is going to happen, mm-hmm. right? But you're not interested in getting 5. You're interested in the transformation. You're interested in the confidence, right? And we played that scenario. Like if we did it for real, I may find something different, right? But that's the idea. Is I want a client to buy in. Like it's a, if you've got an athlete, it's usually something else. And as a cheat sheet for this, there's only really 3 reasons to exercise: is to look better, to feel better, or to perform better in sports or life. But the only reason you want to look better, as you touched on, is confidence, so you feel better about yourself. And the only reason an athlete wants to perform better is honestly to feel better about themselves. So you dig until you get the emotion. Mm-hmm. And that gets the buy-in. So with that, then it's just I'm checking in, like if it's a body fat test, I want to measure like once a month a body composition or take a picture or something. I want to make some visible external check, but you have to tie it into the why. The why is the magic, right? The fact that well done, Sarah, you've went from no push-ups to 15 push-ups. Well, push-ups are meaningless to her. Being a strong woman for her kids is meaningful. That might be the why, right?
Yeah, I don't know how this totally... I probably have heard you talk about this book a couple times too now, but I just finally, like, if you're listening to this on your phone, like, order that book because it's also available on Audible if you're one of those people like me. But definitely check it out because I just hear so many great things about that book.
Yeah, it's just, it separates... It's one of these books that when you start analyzing businesses and successful businesses to the level that I try to do, you're looking for the commonalities between them. Like Virgin is very different from Starbucks, but what are their common principles? What's the same about those two companies, right? What with Nike and Apple? What's the same? And it starts with this sort of mission statement, this why, right? So that book Start With Why really helps you define that as a business. But it's the same working with clients that no one joins it. Like I've said this before, Kevin, no one, Home Depot last year sold 100,000 drills. No one went into Home Depot because they wanted a drill. Mm-hmm. Everybody went to Home Depot because they wanted a hole somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And that was the tool. No one joins a gym apart from some of the, trainers because we're not normal. No one joins a gym to have access to weights and ropes and kettlebells. They join a gym as an avenue to do something else. And once you find out that why, that's what's going to separate a guy working, doing a couple of personal training sessions at 24 Hour Fitness and barely making it to really transforming people. Because you can tap into that why, you can tap into a level of effort that most clients won't give you naturally.
We got a bunch of questions from the listeners, the audience out there. And the first one that I would like to start off with is, again, I think the last time we had you on was for New Rules of Lifting for Life.
Wow.
I'm going to guess. That was a while ago. But anyways, we got a question from Aaron that wanted to know, out of your products, which one would you, I guess, recommend now for fat loss and which is the best for muscle gain? And also, you got stuff on alancosgrove.com. So when you have someone like that comes up to you at a seminar and is kind of just looking to get into your stuff. I guess that's the kind of question that he's asking. You know, what books do you recommend, or what, you know, what do you recommend he picks up or checks out?
Well, a lot of my products now, the direction that the companies went in is it's become more trainer education. So a lot of the stuff on alancosgrove.com and resultsfitnessuniversity.com are more aimed at trainers in terms of that. So for what we call an end user or a client, right? The new rules series is sort of my baby. That's where all the sort of programming goes. So someone who's a little more experienced would go to New Rules of Lifting Supercharged, because it uses a template format where you design your own workouts. The phrase we use, it's like a Chinese, like when you go to the Chinese restaurant for lunch and they like pick one from each column, right? And you can make your meal, like chicken, broccoli, whatever, right? That's the idea I use, is that you can't mess it up because I force you to pick from every column. Like you can't just do bench and curls, right? So you are going to pick from every column. And you'll do your own workout. If you're a little less experienced, New Rules of Lifting for Abs has the same type of workouts in, but we don't allow you to select your own exercises and etc. So it's a little more structured. So it really depends if you like to help, you know, tweak. If you've got some musculoskeletal issues and you're experienced, you know how to tweak a program, then obviously the newest book, Supercharged. If you need a little more structure, then New Rules of Lifting for Abs. The first book, New Rules of Lifting, it's still a good book and it still has good programs, but it's just, I'd said to Lou this, it's written so long ago now that my ideas have evolved, and there's a little part that at the time we were writing a book with not what I would have done even then. Like we're kind of changed it a little bit then to appeal to the masses. So it's as good as that book still is. I don't like to recommend it anymore because it was like, you know, it was before the Fitcast, man. Think about that.
Yeah, I know.
That's how old that is.
I mean, that's what we had. I remember that was what we talked about on that first interview that you're on, like episode 7. And that was after I already had it for a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah. It came out. I think we wrote it in 2005, so Wow. Probably it came out beginning of the year, something like that. Man, that's a long time ago.
It's funny, like you can still on Amazon.com, like if you go into the weight training section, like I saw Cass talk about this the other day, but like New Rules of Lifting for women is still, it's like always in the top 10 for
yeah.
weight training books, always in the top 10.
Lou and I were just talking about that the other day because you wish you know why, right? Because you would just do it again. Yeah. Like people say, why is that? I'm like, I don't know. Like if you cracked that, right, you would just, like, how did the Star Wars franchise get to be so awesome? I don't know. Because everybody's tried. Yeah. People keep trying it. How come James Bond has 30 movies? like New Rules of Lifting for Women was just, I mean, I think it's a perfect storm. It was, I'll be blunt, as Rachel, my wife, has written two female training books, and I know that Lou's language is a very big part of it. I don't want to put that down, but in terms of the program, her two books, the program's far better than the program in New Rules of Lifting for Women. Mm-hmm. Yet New Rules of Lifting for Women outsells it, and incidentally, without giving too much away, outsells any of our other New Rules books.
Wow,
okay, combined at some point. Right, sometimes the other four combined it outsells them. So it's this is the thing, is he'd, you know, if I knew what we did, we would just do that for every book, eh?
There's magic in that book, man.
I think that part of it is I don't remember before that, like the only book I ever saw with an actual program in it might have been Bill Phillips' Body for Life before that. And even then, that when I look at that program, it's a 2 weight training workouts and 1 interval training workout repeated for 12 weeks. So it might have been one of the first books to actually have a, here's what you do every step of the way. I think it's a 7-month program. Like every step of the way, here's what you do. But like I said, we've done that since. And it's not obviously been as popular. The only thing I can think of is that sometimes people, when they see a book series, all the other books are designed for men and women, but females see that and go, well, that's the one for me, right? And everybody else who sees all the books thinks they're supposed to start with the first one. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was never written like that. But the sort of marketing department at Avery and Penguin who published their books, they're the story of New Rules of Lifting for Women is quite cool. I'm going on a tangent, but I'll be right back in a second. That was never a sequel to New Rules of Lifting. And it was a book that Lou and Cass were doing, Lou and Cassandra Forsyth. I was never involved originally. And at some point, I got called by Lou or something, and they wanted me to write the weight training program for it. And I don't know if Lou was writing it or Cassandra was writing it, but they were busy and they just decided to get me to do it. So I did it. And then at the last minute with editing, the editing department and the marketing department decided it was going to be New Rules of Lifting for Women in a sequel. So I believe Lou had to go back and start putting, instead of the different sections he had in the book, he just called them New Rule Number One, New Rule Number Two. But it was quite interesting to see it be like it. I think it was originally going to be called Lift Like a Man. And I didn't think that was a great title, but it was never supposed to be a sequel, and just at the last minute they decided to call it that, and then boom, here we are. I've even got on the Fitcast because of it.
I know, can you believe it? The again, it's just really cool to see that, just because, you know, it is a couple years old now, but obviously there is a lot of maybe you could call it misinformation, or there are other methods, you know, of training mm-hmm. for women out there that probably I would not put on the same tier as New Rules of Lifting for Women. So I'm happy that women out there are still finding that book and checking it out instead of going with some of the other options out there, I'll say.
Oh, cheers, man. Thanks very much. I want to say there's some good stuff out there too, though. Like, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
There's obviously some junk, but there are some people doing, you know, Molly Gilbrace got some great stuff, Nigar, mm-hmm. Lee, Jen Sinclair, Rachel. There's some good stuff out there. So don't, hopefully New Rules of Lifting is a springboard for people to seek out, you know, other good stuff too.
Oh, and
hopefully the book educates them to, so they can tell the difference.
Oh yeah, I was just educating against, like, you know, the people training with bands exclusively, oh, nothing over 2 pounds, all that garbage.
I knew what you were meaning, mate.
This episode of the Fitcast is brought to you by On Target Publications. Dan John, Gray Cook, Mike Boyle, Mark Chain, Thomas Plummer, Evan Oscar, and more. Many of our favorite authors are with On Target Publications. Shouldn't you be? Books, DVDs, digital audio, video, and ebooks. Visit otpbooks.com and use the coupon code FITC for a 20% discount off your next order. So let's go into next question from Manuel. What new methods or things are you interested in, or, you know, new things that you've been using with clients in terms of training, nutrition, et cetera? I guess what is really been at the front of what you've been implementing that is new with what you're doing at Results?
So I have a rule that I don't talk about things we're doing until I have a lot of data to back it up, mm-hmm. right? So I can show you it works, because I'd hate to teach it and then a year from now say, well, that didn't work, sorry. Because mm-hmm. sometimes we try things that don't work, but this is the Fitcast, so you get all the latest stuff.
Exclusive.
What we've been trying the last year and a half, I've only started talking about this recently, is we use the heart rate training with the Polar heart rate monitor to drive our metabolic programs. That's we're going to take that to another level with the addition of some other stuff. Right now, I think the idea of some type of real-time readiness measures, kind of like the heart rate variability stuff that guys are doing with athletes, just to like in the future, like Kevin, let's say we're going to do a squat workout, Kevin, how many sets do we need to do? Well, we don't, like, we're guessing, right? It's mm-hmm. an educated guess, but we're still guessing. You know, what if we could measure in real time things that that could determine exactly how many sets to do, mm-hmm. right, using some measures. So we're looking at something. There's a product called the OptoJump, which was designed to measure speed and vertical jump, that we're playing with to measure as a readiness tool that we can use, you know, prior to workouts and intra-workout to see fatigue levels. So, and I'll be honest, maybe nothing will come of this, mate, right? We'll test it and decide that. We did a lot of stuff with heart rate variability, and for the general population, I didn't find a whole lot of application with it. Like, I can see it with athletes, but I don't know with the general population if it's that useful. As valuable as the measurement is, but there becomes a practicality aspect when you're talking about, you know, 360 something clients that we have. Mm-hmm. So the OptoJump we're looking at, and we're looking at some other things, with this idea being that you come in not knowing what workout's going to be like today, you know, and that you're got some of this ideas from talking to the guys at Manchester United. And there's some type of readiness. And it makes sense with athletes, right? Because you played 90 minutes of soccer yesterday, you played hockey last night. Those minutes are not equal for all the athletes, right? One might have a lot of contact, a lot of sprints. Somebody might have an easier game, right? So that in and of itself can change. With our clients, maybe their lives aren't that drastically different from a day-to-day. So maybe that's where it falls off. But this idea that you come in and I assess how you are today, and it tells me, all right, we can go hard, go medium, or we're going to go easy. And I know that there's obviously the fourth option is that you're so tired, I send you home. But it's difficult to do in a commercial setting and be successful long term. So you'd fall into three buckets of training. And then within the workout, we'd have another mini assessment or mini check-in to see how much more volume we could do. So I think in the future of resistance training and training the client is going to be this real-time adjustment of the workout that I think great coaches do instinctively. Like, you can tell your clients flat and you back off on the sets and you just, you know, you work a little more recovery work. And when they're on fire, you push it. Like, they sit, you know, it looks like a PR's coming and you weren't planning on it. Well, you know, milk it, go after it. Mm-hmm. So I think good coaches do this. I would like it just completely objective. That I heard a critique of some of this stuff, and there were some guys saying, well, I felt like crap and went into the weight room and had a great workout. And I'm like, well, that's the thing though, right? Because how you feel wasn't exactly how your body felt, right? If we had an external measure, it would tell you that you were about to have a good workout. So I think the future is going to be some real-time adjustment of workouts. So that's one of the things I'm always challenging my guys with. What does the workout of the future look like? Right, what does it look like? What do the sets and reps look like? Do we have them anymore? Mm-hmm. Right, and so that's the idea. So that's some stuff we're really interested in using. The other thing, which is a little different, is one of my managers, front desk and support team manager, Elias Scar, has done a lot of good work in the area of psychology. The Myers-Briggs personality profiling identifies 16 different personality types. He's broken it down through, I mean, with input from me and the rest of the team, but he's broken it down into primarily four areas. People are personality driven either by fact, like they want the science behind your programming and the evidence for it, or their relationships. They want to be in a place where they're not intimidated with friends. That's really on a dichotomy, and people will fall either 100% fact or 100% relationship, and usually somewhere in between. And then the other part everyone understands is introverted or extroverted. Well, he started looking into this because the ability to communicate our program and sell it in the beginning, his language would change based on whether he had a fact, extrovert or intro, versus a relationship, extrovert or intro. And by the way, for everybody listening, I'm drawing a diagram in the air as I'm talking right now, so hopefully you can keep up. So the idea is that people are going to respond differently to different language based on their personality type. But we're taking it a step further, and Mike Wunsch, who's one of my top training guys, he cues exercises differently based on personality. Like, he uses different external cueing based on personality type. and we're reaching a level where the entire workout, the entire program could be completely different. The sets, reps, exercise selection is completely different based on your personality type. Because we all say that we're going to individualize programming, right? We individualize the programming based on the FMS or based on fitness tests, but that's individualizing it only based on physiology. Mm-hmm. If you start individualizing it based on personality and psychology, you're really at next level stuff. So that's it. The stuff to look out for is a personality driven program design. Like an example, Kev, if I said to you, hey, you're going on vacation. Are you the type of guy who likes to just be relaxing on the beach, chilling out, or do you like to go like mountain biking and ziplining and do crazy stuff, right? One is very relaxed and downtime, and one is you want a lot of variety and stimulation. That's a personality thing. If I prefer the beach, you're never going to convince me to go mountain climbing and camping up a mountain, right? Right? I don't want to do that, and you don't want to sit on the beach or vice versa. But that means that the person who likes the downtime, they might like a little more structure in their workout. They might like a little more, you're going to do three exercises for four sets of each. Whereas somebody on the other end, they might like a more like a 5-3-1 where the reps are, you don't know how many you're going to get. Or maybe more of a sort of CrossFit style workout where there's a lot of variety in there. You know, and it changes. I'm not a fan of just variety for variety's sake, but I could see someone who likes more structure, you could put them on a A-B alternating program. Someone who likes a little more variety, you could have them on an A-B-C-D rotating program. And if you get more buy-in, like it doesn't really matter to me if you prefer the barbell deadlift or you prefer using kettlebells or sandbags. If I get more buy-in and more enjoyment from the client with giving you a traditional barbell deadlift, 3 sets of 10, 5 sets of 5, right? And I'll have someone else doing a sandbag deadlifts for, 30 seconds on or 10 reps every 30 seconds for 5 minutes. They're completely different delivery systems for what's the same pattern, right? I'll pick the one that gets me the best buy-in for the client's personality. Mm-hmm. That was some deep shit right there, my friend.
Yeah, that's some really cool stuff. Well, I'll be interested. Hopefully, maybe not this year, but next year perform better. We can see the results and see if
applicable. I go to perform better and go, that was a disaster. It didn't work at all. But so far, so good, right? Like, I feel like we're getting a lot of good stuff from in it.
Awesome. And
on some level, I think we all know it makes sense because there's exercises you like and stuff you like doing more than others. So rather than try to fit everybody into the same type of workout, why not, embrace that psychology and that personality and just take everything to another level?
I know we're up against the clock, but I got to ask this question from Chris because I just recently got to go to Ireland, and I'm not a real big fan of beers. Like, I don't really have a beer that I like the taste of, but after having Guinness in Ireland, I think I might have found something that I look forward to drinking when
it's
I
different.
Can find it. Oh,
it's
yeah,
different over there, isn't it?
Well,
wow, it's like a magical thing in Ireland.
Oh, it's,
the
it's
Guinness.
It's a beautiful thing. It's it's cheap, and two, you can. It just has a really good taste, but the problem here in the States, obviously, is it's really hard to find Guinness that's going to taste like that.
There's actually a study, believe it or not, a study on PubMed on Guinness and its travelability. And that
it just doesn't stay?
Because Guinness don't want to say that it's different around the world, right?
Yeah.
That would kill their international sales. But the study was like, yeah, it is. It is different around the world. But hey, on the East Coast, when you get into Boston and the Rhode Island area, man, you're a bit closer to Dublin than I am.
Yeah, it's just a 6 hour. I'm sure they just fly that stuff over.
Somebody asked me on Facebook, I put my seminar schedule up, and they're like, when are you coming to Scotland? And I said, here's how it works. I got on a plane too, yeah. Right? And I fly somewhere. And funnily enough, Providence, Rhode Island, where I'm speaking with Perform Better, is almost exactly halfway between LA and Edinburgh. So I'm like, I'll meet you halfway. That's a deal.
Yeah,
but Guinness is good, man. That's Now I'm in a. It's only you know, in the morning over here in California, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
Of course it is.
I need to go get a Guinness.
But Chris wanted to know, you know, what do you recommend after Guinness? Is there something that you recommend that's, I guess, readily available across the country, not a just a like a micro brew in your town?
That's a question for Robert Dos Remedios.
I know. We just had him on a couple weeks ago, and he went in depth. I think we spent like 15 minutes on beer. So
I think Guinness is the black belt ninja Jedi of beers. I don't think there is something else. I think if you don't like Guinness, there's something wrong with you. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Robert's a guy to ask. I'm kind of like, I think they invented Guinness in 1759, and every microbrew in the world is trying to copy it, and if no one's done a better job, that's the one.
It has me ready to book a flight back on Aer Lingus back to Ireland to go get some more.
Did you do the Guinness brewery tour?
Yeah, when we went over for Mike's seminar, we got to go over to the brewery and you know, see how it is made and the painstaking process to get
Mike,
out there.
Did Mike appreciate it? Because he's a Bud Light guy.
Oh, Mike loved it. Mike was, yeah.
Oh, that's good. One more non-Bud Light drinker and one more Guinness in the world. Perfect.
I'm positive he drank nothing but Guinness the whole time that we were there, at least when I was with him. So.
Yeah, I know Mike's a Bud Light, I think Bud Light lame guy.
Yeah, well, it's warming up, so I'm sure the cases of that will be showing up.
That's also true, is Guinness is I never really drank it growing up in Scotland or living there. Me and Rachel went to Dublin one Christmas time, and it was the same thing, right? Same experience of drinking it, and you're like, oh my goodness, what is this? This amazing liquid.
It is, it's so good. But before we wrap up, I know you have a lot of stuff going on. You got some seminars coming up. You know, obviously, like we mentioned, the Perform Better Summits are literally weeks away.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, you know, for the audience out there, you know, what have you been up to? What can they check out that you have coming up? Obviously, you have Results Fitness University stuff going on as well. So what's up?
Yeah, our next my next project, I don't know when this podcast airs. I got a one day with Perform Better coming up in Denver in May. Mm-hmm. After that, we've got the summits, which are boom back to back to back this year. They're quite tight with Perform Better, which is always a fantastic time. In September, we've got our next Results Fitness mentorship. If you go to resultsfitnessuniversity.com and you click around there, you'll find it. And that's what's coming up in the next couple of months. It's a busy time on the seminar circuit, and then a little break, and then we've got our business seminar in September, because that when you head in after the summer, it's almost like an extra new year for the fitness business. So mm-hmm. if people are interested in really getting the business side of their training and their gyms up to the next level, then you know, come out and see us.
Perfect. Well, we'll definitely be seeing you at the Perform Better seminars. If you guys haven't been to one of those, definitely try to get to one this year. The lineups are always fantastic, and there's always an open bar the first night, so you can get to meet some great people and get a couple drinks as well.
Always Bud Light, though. We need to be having a talk.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Chris, see if we can get like a registered Guinness distributor somewhere that can pour a good pint.
That's right. If Chris did that, I'd go for free.
I'll email him. I'll see what we can do. There's got to be something in the Providence area. But again, Alan, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. We'll make sure to post links for all that stuff in the show notes at thefitcast.com. And hopefully we'll be talking to you again soon, and not sometime before episode 400, I would hope.
Oh, cheers, Kevin. Thanks for everything you're doing. Well done, and continued success to you and the Fitcast. Really good stuff, mate. Well done.
Thank you very much. We'll see everyone next time. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, submit a review on there. You check out thefitcast.com for all that stuff. And next time, we'll be joined by John Barty. So start submitting questions for that. Take care.